إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلقكم من زوجها وبش منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم Dear brothers and sisters, respected elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this blessed day of Jumu'ah, inshallah, I'd like to talk to you about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes for a second and think about the last time you have committed a sin. Last time you've committed an act of disobedience. Last time you did something that you felt guilty in your heart. And if we are honest with ourselves, it will not be that long ago. As human beings, we sin all the time, realizing it or not realizing it. We sin by day, we sin by night. We sin with our feet, we sin with our eyes, we sin with our tongue. We sin with our feet, with our hands. We look at things we shouldn't look at. We say things we shouldn't say. We take things that doesn't belong to us. We go places we should not go. We do things we shouldn't do, and we don't do things we should do. We sin over and over again. Many of us, because it's become such a habit, we don't even think about it. We commit major sins and have no thoughts on it whatsoever. It becomes like a habit. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who was one of the Sahaba, said about the Tabi'een, sin for you are like a hair on your head. You think nothing of it. But if we did the same thing you did, we would think we would be destroyed. And this is a Sahaba saying this about the Tabi'een, which is the second generation. What would he say about us? The acts that we commit. Most people, most of us in the Muslim world, we don't pray five times a day. What percentage of you think a Muslim ummah prays five times a day? Most of us has money that's tainted with haram. You know, it's tainted with riba, usury, most of us. Sins kind of keeps coming on and on. Abdullah ibn Malik says, a believer thinks that his sin is like a big mountain on top of his head, and it could fall and crush him at any times. And an evil person thinks that his sin is like a fly that kind of buzzes around. He kind of moves his hand and gets it out of the way. So a believer grandizes his sin. Means when you do something wrong, if you have true iman, it'll be big thing on your head, on your conscience. And a munafiq trivializes a sin, no big deal. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we feel when we do something wrong? Do we think, is it something we should worry about? You know, we stay up late, ask Allah for forgiveness, or do we just brush it aside? Where is our heart when we do a sin? How do we act? How do we feel? Prophet Muhammad ﷺ warned us about minor sins. And we do minor sins all the time. But if you take, you know, minor sins are like branches of a tree. If you take a lot of branches together, you get a pretty big fire. So, you know, minor sins will add up. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Judgment Day starts asking us about minor sins, I think that's it for us. We will be destroyed. Prophet Muhammad said that every single son of Adam is a sinner. It is impossible for us to completely give up sin. To be human is to err. So the Prophet ﷺ said, every single son of Adam is a sinner, but the best of them is the one who repents, who does tawbah. So that's the solution, brother and sister. Because of our nature of sinning, that we do knowing or without knowing, our salvation lies in our tawbah, in our repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah is not an option for us. It's an obligatory act for us. It's a mandatory for us. Every single one of us should do tawbah every single day. Because we sin day in and day out, tawbah becomes mandatory upon us. When Adam and Iblis, when they committed the wrong, both of them did, what was the difference? Iblis blamed Allah, and Adam alayhi salam, he asked for forgiveness. And if you look at the history, if you look at all the prophets had to repent. They all had to ask for forgiveness. Nuh alayhi salam, when he asked for his son's forgiveness, he had to ask Allah for forgiveness for asking forgiveness for his son. Musa alayhi salam, when he saw the vision of Allah and he went into coma, when he woke up, he had to ask Allah for forgiveness. Yunus alayhi salam, when he left his people and the whale swallowed him, and when he was inside the fish of the belly, what was he saying? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. He was asking for forgiveness. So all the Prophet had to ask for forgiveness. Even our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation. Brothers, can you move up just a little bit? Some brothers standing in the back, please. JazakAllah khair. Even our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation, his past, present, and future sins were forgiven. He was guaranteed Jannah. He looked at his house in Jannah as you're looking at me now, right in front of him. Yet, he was asking Allah's forgiveness more than 100 times a day. What about us? Do we have any guarantee of anything? How many times do we ask for Allah's forgiveness? If you read the Quran, inshallah we all do, over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His overwhelming mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over and over again to repent, to ask for His forgiveness. His mercy and blessing is all around us. Because we're inundated with so much of His blessing, and we take it for granted, that tawbah and repentance kind of becomes mandatory upon us. And most of the time, we don't even deserve the mercy and blessing that we get from Him. I'll give you a quick example of the blessing that we don't even realize. As you're sitting here today in this khutbah, your eyes, you know, on the side, there are tear ducts. And as you're blinking, every few seconds you blink. When you do that, the tear ducts releases tears that literally filters your eyes and cleans and keeps them moist. There are diseases where people don't have this ability to do so, and they go blind. It's a blessing that we have every single day we don't realize. The food that you ate last night and this morning, they're right now in your stomach, in your intestines, and you have villi, you have thousands, miles and miles of surface area, and they're absorbing that food, the nutrition that you ate. Your body's taking in what you need and getting rid of what you don't need. It's going on right now. We're not aware of it. You don't have to think anything about this. The water that you drank is going through your kidney right now. Your kidney's taking in the electrolytes, sodium, potassium, chloride, the things that we need to survive. And it's getting rid of all the unwanted things, the urea, the nitrogen, and getting rid of it. So you can go in the bathroom, relieve yourself. Without it, you won't survive. You're not aware of it. Earlier today, some of us got exposed to some viruses or bacteria. You didn't think nothing of it, you didn't know where. But your immune cells, your fighting cells know about it already. They have got together, They went through their files. If they ever got exposed to this virus before, they figured out what they need to do, what kind of chemicals they need to kill it. They already surrounded it, and right now they're killing it without you even being aware of it at all. Your heart that's beating in your chest, it beats close to 60, 70, 80 times a minute. Each minute it moves about close to 2 gallons of blood. That means in an hour it'll move close to 120 gallons of blood. It's a tremendous amount of liquid. And it's pushing it through vasculature, that if you take all your vessels out, your capillaries, arteries, and veins, it'll be the length of it will be greater than the circumference of the earth. And your heart, for 60, 70, 80 years, will push that blood, exchanging oxygen, carbon dioxide, so you could live. All this blessing, we're not even aware of it. Who you are now is not the same person who you were a year and a half ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces you completely. Things break down and rebuild. It's a recycling process so we can maintain our youth look. And so completely changed, your new human being. A year and a half or 2 years, every single cell is regenerate. It's going on right now. The ulama say the health is a crown that only the sick could see. Your health is a crown that you wear, only the sick could see. So until you get sick, you don't realize the crown that you wear. So all this blessing we have, most of us, we take it for granted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, we know of 99 names in the Qur'an, right? There are a lot more names, but if you look at the 99 names, most of it is related to His mercy and His compassion. You know, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Afu, Al-Tawwab. It's all to do with His mercy, His compassion. Allah remind us in the Qur'an, and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remind us through His Sunnah and His Hadith, the magnificence of Allah's mercy. Prophet said in a hadith, Allah stretches out His hand in the day to accept the repentance of the one who repent or do sins during the night. And Allah stretches out His hand throughout the night so He can repent for the people who sin during the day. Prophet said in another hadith, if the non-believers only knew how much mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, even he or she would not give up hope in entering Jannah. If they just realize the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think about it, you could find it very apparent. There are 6 billion Muslims, there's 6 billion people in the world, right? But 1.7 million of them are Muslims. That means one out of every four people don't even believe in Allah. They don't even recognize the Creator. Even if they do, they worship it in a way that Allah is not pleased with. And SubhanAllah, you know, I have seen people who disbelieve, say things that are unbelievable. I hear people say, you know, where is God? Where are you, God? Come, strike me down. I'm right here. Where are you? Do something. Strike me down. I've heard this before, people say, you know. And the fact that Allah doesn't strike him down, see, we don't realize in terms of the magnitude of what's around us. We really don't. Astronomers have a little bit of idea. Most of us have been on planes, right? When you're about to take off on the plane and you go airborne and you look out and you say about 1,000 feet or so up in the air and you look down and you look at the little cars and little trucks that look like toys. You look at the human being, they're like dots walking around. You can barely see them. That's about 1,000 feet. The average plane flies about 40,000 feet. So even in 1,000 feet, you could barely see us. So that's in our atmosphere. Now, you go beyond our atmosphere. We see the sun every day, alhamdulillah. It rises and sets, and we feel like it's right there. We have no idea how far the sun is. If I take a gun, and if I shoot at the sun, you know how long that bullet will take to hit the sun? Speed of bullet, faster than the speed of sound. It'll take close to 50,000 years for that bullet, 50 years for that bullet to travel faster than the speed of sound, to hit the sun. That's the distance. If we go about 100 or 200 feet close to the sun, we're going to boil ourselves to death. If we move 100 or 200 feet away from the sun, we're going to freeze ourselves to death. It's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set everything up. Now that's the sun. If you take all the planets in the solar system, all the moons and all the planets, they could all be put inside the sun. That's the size of it. And that's one star. Do you know how many of a star like the sun there are in our Milky Way, in our old galaxy? From the Hubble telescope, they estimate in our own galaxy, there are close to 400 billion stars. There are 400 billion suns in our own galaxy. And they estimate there are more than 500 million galaxies in the universe. So there are 400,000 of those suns in our galaxy, and there are 500 million galaxies in the universe. That's, ulama say, that's the first heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resides on top of the seventh heaven. And He's looking down at this creature, challenging him to strike him down. Not only He doesn't strike him down, He takes care of him for 60, 70 years. He feeds him three times a day. He clothes him. He gives him loved ones. Just to see if he turns to him, asking for forgiveness. We have no idea the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan challenged, Iblis challenged Allah when he was kicked out of heaven. He said, I swear by you, Allah. He was swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I swear by you, Allah. I will keep misguiding them, talking about us. I will keep misguiding them as long as there is spirit left in them. And then Allah said, I swear by my izzah. Then Allah swears that I will keep forgiving them as long as they turn toward me. Allah Himself asks us to repent to Him. Over and over again in the Quran, Allah talks about, ask me for forgiveness, I will forgive you. Prophet ﷺ reminds us that during the month of Ramadan, when Aisha radiallahu anhu asked him, what was the dua? He told Aisha radiallahu anhu, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbun afuwa fa'afuanna. Now afu is somebody who not only forgives, but he erases. See, if you do something wrong to me, I might forgive you. But in the back of my mind, that'll kind of fester on, I'll kind of remember. But when Allah forgives, He wipes it off. You won't even find it in the books. That's somebody who's afu. In fact, one of the biggest sins that we could do is give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's forgiveness is greater than anything we could ever do. It's arrogance on our part to think that with our sins we could challenge the Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You know, I've heard people say, I've done so bad, Allah's not good. Who do you think you are that you're going to challenge the Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the greatest of all merciful? There's no sins that we could do that come even close that Allah can't forgive you. In fact, you know, Prophet ﷺ says, the biggest of all sins, so we all know this, the biggest of all sin is shirk. And to give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's mercy. Allah could forgive all sins. Even if you do shirk, if you start going worshiping a tree or a car or something, if you're Muslims, you have to come back. You take your shahada again, ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah could forgive you. Allah could forgive shirk. Doesn't Allah forgive all the Christians, the fire worshippers, the Buddhists and all the people who come to repent, and Allah forgives everything. Allah's mercy is beyond our comprehension. Inshallah, next part of the khutbah, I'll talk about the steps of doing tawbah. Aqeelu qawla hadha, astaghfirullah wa atubu. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم When Khaydar was with Musa عليه السلام and they were in the ocean, he dipped his finger in the ocean and pulled it out and asked Musa, Ya Musa, how much water did I pull out? And Musa says, nothing. There's nothing compared to the ocean. Such is the bounty and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the creation cannot reduce or retract from His mercy. So what is the proper steps of tawbah? And we should know this, we should memorize this. Simple, but we should know this. First, you have to have the right intention. You have to do it. We should repent for the sake of Allah, not for anything else. Not because somebody saw you walking around the liquor store, or your wife's telling you, or husband's telling you, or somebody overheard you backbiting. You do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to be the first step. Second condition is you must feel guilty in your heart. You must have that, you know, that feeling of guilt that I did something wrong. You must feel it inside, and Allah knows your heart. You must feel it in your heart when you're about to do the repentance, and you must feel that. That's the second step. And the third step is what you feel in your heart, you must utter in your mouth. So you have to say, Allah, forgive me, astaghfirullah. It doesn't matter what language it is, Allah created all language. He knows all of them. So you can say it in any language, say it in your mother tongue. Allah forgive me. And a fourth step, and that you must try your best, or make an intention, never to return to that sin. That's the four steps. So, sincerity, feeling regret and remorse, seeking Allah's forgiveness, and make an intention not to go back again. Simple. But those are the four steps of tawbah. Even if you go back, say, oh, I committed a sin, I go back again. Allah does not count how many times you repent to Him. We might. Unless it's the fourth time I'm asking you for forgiveness. Allah doesn't count. There's no angels writing down how many times you repented. Allah doesn't look at that. Allah doesn't look at the quantity. Allah looks at the quality. How is your tawbah this time? Because you could make that quality tawbah before you die, Allah will forgive everything from before. And the amazing part is, if you do repentance, and truly do repentance, and Allah accepts, not only Allah will forgive your sin, Allah will replace that sin with a good act. You committed a sin, and now you're getting a hasanah. Not because you sinned, because you repented. Because Allah loves your repentance so much. And Allah promises the people who repent extra blessing, extra money, extra children, blessing in this world. And Allah says that whoever repents to me, that will be the cause of you entering Jannah. And Allah says the only people who enter Jannah are the people who repent. So you committed a sin, you asked for forgiveness, Allah accepted. For that sin, you got a good action. For that sin, because you repented, you got more blessing in this world. For that sin, because you repented, Allah allow you to go to Jannah. So that's the extent of Allah's mercy, beyond what we could realize. Allah doesn't love sins, but Allah loves to forgive. Allah doesn't love sinners, but Allah loves repenters. We are dealing with the amazingly merciful Lord. What does Allah has on His throne? My mercy should overcome my wrath. Another amazing hadith is, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will bring you close so nobody else could hear. And He'll say, my slave, did you do this? And I'll say, Allah, I did. Did you do this? Yes. Did you do this? Yes. What about this? Yes. And you'll asking until you feel like, you know, you're destroyed. Then Allah will say, just as I forgiven you on the earth because you repented, today I will hide your sins and I'll forgive you, let you enter Jannah. So, you know, we should never give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repentance is a mandatory thing for us. We must remember that. And we, one of the last advice is we have to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our internal dialogue. See, every day we have about 60,000 thoughts. We have conversation with ourselves all the time. And we have to bring Allah there, not only in prayer, which is alhamdulillah, five times a day. But when you have that internal dialogue, bring Allah in that dialogue, because that's where Allah wants to be. Allah's closer to us or a jugular vein, the straps of our shoulder, on our sandals. Allah's there. Deep down in your heart, those thoughts and their whispers that nobody else knows, Allah knows. See, Allah kept the heart for Himself, which means that nobody has access to the heart except for Allah. Shaitan doesn't know what's in your heart. Angels doesn't know what's in your heart. Only Allah knows and you know. So what we need to do is improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that internal dialogue. When you do something wrong, you know, like, I keep looking at things I shouldn't. Allah forgive me. Like, when I go to a group, I feel like I'm better than them. I have some pride in my heart, I feel. Allah help me with this. You know, like, I keep getting angry. I don't want to. It keeps coming over me. Allah help me with this. Allah, I want to give. But when I give, I feel like I can't. You know, it bothers me. I need to be. Allah help me. Allah could cure all the diseases of the heart. And the only thing that will save you in the name of Qiyamah, in Yawm al-Qiyamah, is somebody who stands in front of Allah with a clean heart. Qalbu Salim. That's it. And if you improve that relationship day in and day out, you'll be successful in this life and hereafter. We will make mistakes. And we have to ask for repentance. And Allah loves to forgive. Allah loves to forgive. So much so that if all of us stop doing sins, Allah will replace us, bring another generation who will sin, so Allah could forgive them. Allah loves to forgive so much that sometimes we ask for something that Allah wants to give, but Allah holds on just so He could hear us call His name and ask Him for forgiveness. SubhanAllah. Prophet ﷺ asked for forgiveness at least 100 times a day. And we should at least do that. I'm talking to myself first. After each prayer, at least 20 times, Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. And feel it with your heart. Allah could make any of us into awliya anytime He wants to. It's all about the heart. And only person who has access to it is you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا الله اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. يا الله forgive us رب العالمين. Forgive us all our sins رب العالمين. Help all the Muslims, all the brothers and sisters, all the children, all the people suffering around the world. Help all the Muslims in Syria. Allah help all the Muslims in Palestine. Allah help all the Muslims struggling in Burma. Help all the Muslims struggling in Libya, in Iraq, in Somalia, in Sudan, in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan. Help all the Muslims who are suffering in Europe. All the Muslims who are struggling and struggling in America. Allah help us to be closer to you, Rabbul Alameen. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم آمين نقيم الصلاة